I know a woman who is a working professional. She's the mother of young children. She's a wife. And she recently contracted COVID-19, and that morphed into pneumonia. Not long ago, she was on a ventilator, literally fighting for her life, and it was terrifying. Thankfully, she's in a relatively better place now. There's a man connected to our community who's older. He also has COVID-19, and things are not looking good for him. It looks like he's not going to make it. Now, obviously, these are not good things. These are bad things. We know that people are losing their jobs, and more people will lose their work because of COVID-19. And when terrible things are happening to us or to people around us, we can wonder, is God really good? Is he really good? Can God really be trusted? Scripture tells us to suspend judgment as to whether something will prove to be good or bad in the end. A story is told about a wise man who won a Ferrari in a lottery. And his friends and his family came to his house and they said, "You are so lucky." And he smiled and he said, "Maybe." And then this man was driving his new sports car and he was coming through an intersection when a drunken driver crashed into his car, causing him all kinds of injuries. And so his family and his friends showed up at the hospital and they looked at him and they said, "You are so unlucky." And he looked up and he said, "Maybe." And then there was a landslide that caused his house to fall into the sea, but he was safe because he was in the hospital. And his family and friends came by. They said, "You are so lucky." And again, the man said, "Maybe." Now, the point of this story is to encourage us to suspend judgment about whether something is going to prove in the end to be good or bad. We know from experience that some things at first appear to be good, but they turn out to be bad, and other things appear to be bad, but they end up being good. We know that life is filled with all kinds of unexpected twists and turns, and if we're honest, sometimes life can feel really random. But if our lives are in God's hands, we can know for certain that God will cause all things to work together for our ultimate good. In a famous verse in Scripture, in Romans 8:28, the Apostle Paul writes, "For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, for those who have been called according to his purpose." And as we look at the context, it's important to note that Paul here in Romans 8 writes about how creation itself is groaning, that the world is suffering, that it's going through pains like an expecting mother in labor who wants to deliver her child. And Paul is saying that creation groans for new life. And as we look further in Romans chapter 8, as we look at verses 35 and 36, we see that Paul writes about facing all kinds of suffering and danger and even possible death. And we know that Paul experienced all these things. But it's interesting that Paul never says that these things are good in and of themselves. They're bad things. Dangers, sufferings, possible death. But what Paul is saying in Romans 8:28 is that if we belong to God, God can take all of these things, even things that are bad or even evil in and of themselves, and cause them to work for our ultimate good. Now, when Paul says that God causes all things to work together for our good, Paul is referring primarily to our spiritual good, not necessarily a material or financial good. You might ask, how do you know that? Well, Paul says in Romans 8:28 in this famous verse, all things work together for good for those who love God. That's a very well-known verse. Verse 29 is much less famous, but it's equally important. What does it say? It says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. This verse can also be translated, for those God knew, he chose to become like his son. And so when the Apostle Paul talks about all things working together for good for those who love God, the good that he means is our being made like Jesus Christ. Now, Romans 8:28 is such a great verse, but unfortunately, it is also one of the most misunderstood and most misapplied verses in all of Scripture. Let's say someone loses their job because of COVID-19. That's devastating on lots of different levels. It would be glib and wrong to say to that person, based on Romans 8:28, that all things are working together for good. That means that you're going to get a better and higher paying job, because that may not be true. When I was making the transition from California back to Vancouver, I was out of work. I was unemployed for about 9 months. I had a lot more free time, but it did not feel like a vacation to me, because I felt restless and anxious about my job prospects. And I didn't end up getting a super high-paying job at the end of those 9 months either. But there were some gifts to that painful season as well. I learned how to live more simply. I learned to depend on God more fully. I saw God provide for me housing, food, my basic necessities, and sometimes even more. And I remain grateful for those things and to God to this very day. Paul is saying in Romans 8:28 that God can choreograph all things, even bad and painful things, and even evil, for our ultimate good, so that we are made more like his son, Jesus. One of my favorite examples of how God can use evil for his good purposes for us comes from the life of Joseph in the Bible. This is Joseph, the son of Jacob, featured in the book of Genesis. Love that guy. We named our son after that guy, Joseph. Well, let me tell you his story briefly. Joseph is the favorite son of his father, Jacob. He's got a lot of brothers. And as a result, his brothers are jealous of him. They hate him. And one day they attack him and they literally throw him into a pit, into a cistern. And Joseph is begging for his life because they're planning to kill him. But just then, a caravan of people traveling to Egypt pass by, and his brothers decide to sell him as a slave to these guys. And so think about it. In just a matter of minutes or a few hours, Joseph loses everything dear to him, his father, his family, his food, his financial security, his freedom. And he's crying out, not only to his brothers for mercy, but to God for mercy, and heaven seems silent. Well, Joseph ends up being bought as a slave by a guy named Potiphar, some official in Egypt. Now, Joseph is this good-looking, attractive guy. And after a little while, his boss's wife starts to make advances toward Joseph, sexual advances, and because she's married, Joseph resists. And because he resists, Potiphar's wife is offended. And she hits back, so to speak, by falsely accusing Joseph of making a sexual pass at her. And as a result, Joseph is thrown into prison. He's probably wondering, God, I try to do the right thing. Is this how you reward me? Joseph ends up spending 10 years in prison, a decade in prison. But while he is there, he cultivates a spiritual gift for being able to interpret dreams. And one day, Pharaoh, the ruler of all of Egypt, has this very vivid and disturbing dream. And he hears from one of the members of his court that Joseph, this guy in prison, has some gift from the gods of being able to understand the meaning of dreams. And so Pharaoh summons Joseph. And Pharaoh tells Joseph his dream, and Joseph, with God's help, is able to interpret it. Joseph says, Pharaoh, this dream means that a great famine is coming to the land. And so while the harvests are plentiful, you need to stock away grain so that we can survive the years of drought. And Pharaoh recognizes the wisdom of this young Hebrew man, Joseph. And on the spot, he promotes him from prisoner to prime minister over all Egypt. And sure enough, in about 7 years, famine hits. Many people in the region start to suffer from hunger and starvation, including Joseph's family back in Canaan. They run out of food, they become very hungry, and eventually they make their way to Egypt. And they find themselves standing before their brother, Joseph, but they do not recognize him. Joseph looks different because of his dress. He's speaking in Egyptian. He speaks to them harshly through an interpreter. And his brothers look at each other and they say, God is punishing us. Can't you see for how we treated our brother? He pleaded for his life and we wouldn't listen to him. God is punishing us. And Joseph couldn't stand it any longer. And he told his staff, get out, leave. And then he began to weep. He began to bawl his eyes out. And he looks at his brothers and he says, don't you know who I am? It's me. It's your kid brother, Joseph. I'm your brother. And his brothers grow white with fear. They become pale because they're convinced that now that Joseph has power, he's going to take revenge and he's going to kill them all. But Joseph doesn't respond like that. He says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. What you meant for evil, God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. And the word meant, as in meant for good, literally means to weave. And Joseph understands that God could take the evil actions of his brother and weave it into something good for him, his family, and for the saving of many, many lives. Now, Joseph never says that his being sold into slavery was good. He knew that was bad. Joseph never says that his being abused by his brothers was good. He knew that was bad. Joseph never says that sin is a good thing. He knows that sin is bad. But Joseph understands what the Apostle Paul centuries later would write about in Romans 8, that God can take even evil and even bad things like disease and work them together for our ultimate good so that we are made more like Jesus Christ. And COVID-19 is a bad thing. But there are good gifts that God can bring, even from this. And as I think about my own life, and maybe this is true for you, through COVID-19, I have been reminded that I do not control my life. I tend to be a fairly proactive person with a pretty high sense of agency. I think I can influence the outcome of some things in my life. But COVID-19... has shown me that I am utterly and completely dependent on the living God. And if I think I am in control of things, that is merely a pleasant illusion. And Jesus Christ, God's Son, knew that he was utterly and completely and totally dependent on his Father. And so to the extent that you and I realize our dependence on God in these days, we are being conformed a little bit more into the image of his son, Jesus. I've got a friend, and she began to display pretty much all the symptoms of COVID-19, and so she voluntarily put herself in self-isolation for about 2 weeks. And she shared with me how when she was in isolation, she realized how much her identity was bound up in her work, in her being productive, in her being needed by her kids and her husband and other people in her life. And as she was alone, as she was in isolation, she came to realize more fully, more clearly, that her core identity is not in doing things or being productive or being needed, but it's in simply being a beloved daughter of God. COVID-19 is bad. It is destructive. But God can bring about some good gifts through this pandemic. During this time of difficulty, during this season, with God's help, you and I can grow deeper and wiser and more compassionate and more courageous. And we can remember that the most important part of our storyline is not what we do, not what we produce, not what we have, but the central drama of our life is who we are becoming. Insofar as our Creator is concerned, who we are becoming is on center stage. Last week, I said that this moment may be the greatest opportunity in our lifetime to demonstrate the love of Christ. Well, this moment may also be the greatest opportunity in our lifetime to grow more like Jesus Christ. And we can embrace the truth of Romans 8:28, that God is good, and that if our lives are in His hands, He is working all things for our ultimate good, even when it suggests that is not true. Even when we feel like Joseph, perhaps like we are in a dark pit, or like we are in a prison of despair. Like Joseph, we can, by faith, affirm that God is good, and we can say, God, I will trust you even through this. Many of us right now are spending more time at home than ever before. Could this unique window of time make our homes, our apartments, into a kind of sanctuary where we meet God? Or maybe a better analogy, a better image would be furnace, especially if you need to work from home, you've got a bunch of restless kids, things are ramping up for you. Maybe a furnace is a better image. But could this time, right now, in our homes, be the space where our eyes are open to God in new ways? Where our eyes are open to what is most important and what is most essential. Where we discover our shadow side, our darkness, but invite the light of God, the love of God, to bring us healing and make us whole. In this time, when we're home more, sure, watch good movies. But don't spend all of your time being glued to Netflix. You'll feel a little better at first, but you'll feel worse. And in this season, many of us feel like we need to be informed about the news, but limit your dosage of the news, as many people have suggested. And ask yourself this question, as I raised last week. Ask yourself, am I feeding more on the news or more on God's love? Am I feeding more on the times or more on the eternities? Let this moment be a transformative one for you. Don't squander this opportunity. but allow God to do what he wants to do in you. And if you have any doubt whatsoever about God's goodness, about God's worthiness of being trusted, on this Palm Sunday, as we enter into Holy Week, simply look into the face of Jesus Christ. And as you look into his face, know that out of love for you, God became like you. He became a human being. And then after living a perfect life, he voluntarily laid himself down on a cross and absorbed the greatest evil in the world, died the most excruciatingly painful, degrading death. But out of the worst moment in human history, out of the darkest moment, God also birthed the greatest gift. He paved the way for you and me to experience the forgiveness and the freedom from our sins. And life with God now and forever. So think about it. God was able to take the most tragic, ugly, the worst moment in human history and to transform it into the most beautiful gift the world has ever known. And if God is that for you, and if God is that creatively powerful, know that God could take COVID-19 or a disease you're facing down or the loss of a job or the loss of a relationship, as awful as those things are, and I've experienced those things, that God could take sin, our own sin, or a sin against us. God could even take death, someone else's death or our own death, and transform it into something truly beautiful. Put your life in God's hands. Put your life in God's hands. And all things will start to work for your ultimate good as God weaves your life into something truly glorious and beautiful. As God makes you like his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. If you're able to, if you're in your home, if you're not driving, I invite you to close your eyes and enter the presence of God. If you are driving, you can just become aware of God in a prayerful moment. Know that in this moment, that God is not self-isolating. Know that God is not socially distancing himself from you. God draws near to you right now. And perhaps you're feeling, as Joseph likely felt, like you are in a dark pit, or you are in a prison of despair. With God's help, in your spirit, will you say, God, I will trust you no matter what. I'm going to trust you. And if that's what your heart is saying, pray that right now. God, I trust you. I trust that you will use anything and everything in my life and world for my ultimate good as you make me more like Jesus and for your glory. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. And may you experience the light of God in your darkness. And may God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance toward you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.